So I guess.
Yeah, or so I guess looking at our user, we were looking at small plot farmers. Oh, this is slide number two. We're looking at small plot farmers that were sustaining, that were using farming or small plot farming as primary source of income for families, or for their families. And typically, they had no access to water during the dry season, no affordable pumps. I mean, you guys see that all on here. And during the dry season, when the water level drops below 33 feet, then they would need to leave leave their families and try and find work elsewhere.
Hey, dude, hold on one sec. Just so, should we, like, the stuff that we...
We already got.
Like we just might run not need through. You to go through your full-on...
That's fine.
Should
That's
we good. Just kind of, if like, if we're at something and we kind of...
Yeah.
See that, we'll just say, okay.
All right, let's go.
Right, yeah. Okay. I think a lot of we That's got good. This. We right. can read this. What I'm interested, specifically I'm interested in, is specific... instantiations of where you did innovation.
Okay.
You were beginning to show us, you know, with here's the bottom of it, and you said, I need to, like it's in a PowerPoint.
Okay.
I can show you it, you know, like,
definitely.
Here's how this works. We need three or four of those because that's going to give us a whole lot more credibility.
All right, let's move.
Because we've done a lot with need finding, and, you know, that's here. And if we have questions,
that's then
we'll just say, hey, what can we do about it?
Done. Okay. So I think this, is this an old one? This might be.
Right, it's the.
And.
Right, this is the thing that's really interesting.
Older one. I think there's an older one. Final present, that's final report.
If you want to kind of.
I guess that might be, I guess, I don't remember that being the final one.
There's also, if you hit the, okay,
that
yeah.
One, yeah, that might be easier.
Final, I guess that is the final, final report. Okay. Never mind, I guess that is the final presentation.
This is the October 8th presentation. It's called... And this is just so we have it.
Final presentation, parentheses, pump it up, V5.
Okay.
So, let's see. From brainstorming, looking at different pump technologies, there are different kinds of pump technologies, compressed air pumps, diaphragm pumps, and all of that other stuff. We looked at all of those, and we converged on a deep lift pump, which people have made. We prototyped at a small scale over at Meyer Bridge, 20 feet. And then,
tell us why it was the deep lift pump, why that was the technology you wanted to use.
So when we're working at a small scale, we're working at like 2 or 3 feet.
Right.
We looked at compressed air pumps, and at like 2 or 3 feet, the way a compressed air pump works is you blow a lot of air down, and the air comes up, and it takes water with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need is you need high volume and high pressure, something that's very difficult to deliver. You can't deliver both. You can only do one or the other unless you're an air compressor.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't seem like it was a viable option. Diaphragm pumps, we kind of had a balloon, and we used that to simulate a diaphragm. That worked a couple times, but then it bursted.
Okay.
And we think that with the water that we're pumping through, that would not be as robust. The other one we looked at a, let's see, there's compressed air, there's a diaphragm, it's over here.
And Deep well is a technology that's separate from the fact that you needed to pump water from
deep lift pump is a technology. Deep well pumps are pumps that try and get water from from below 33 feet.
Okay.
So let's see. Yeah, we had the.
So which slide is this? I'm sorry.
This is slide number 11. I jumped ahead a couple.
That's okay. We just need to. It's for the transcription.
Yep.
That we know that it's slide 11 we're talking about right now.
So actually, let me back up one. Just so you guys can see it. So that was the timeline. Right. Number 9 was the timeline. Slide number 10 was just illustrating that these are all the different kinds of pumps that are out there. This is what they currently do. These are compressed air pumps in terms of price. This is kind of where we want to be. Here's the diaphragm. And mm-hmm. There's the Apertec deep lift.
Right.
And then we looked at a rope and washer pump. You imagine if you had a rope with a bunch of washers or cups that are going all the way down, and if you run it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. We talked to Chris Donaldson, who was working on that, and it just, as nice as you could make it, it just felt kludgy.
Mm-hmm.
She spent a summer working on that. And there's the compressed air pump, with which I just talked about, and the diaphragm pump, and then we decided to go for a plunger type pump or a deep lift pump.
So you went for the deep lift because you felt it would be most robust.
And, I mean, looking at what other people have done also,
mm-hmm.
that most, I mean, like the India Mark III and most of the other deep lift pumps, I mean, most of the other deep well pumps are deep lift pumps.
Okay.
And that kind of backed up our reason to decide to pursue this, because they decided to pursue that for a reason. We kind of got an idea of why they decided to do that, and mm-hmm. seeing that they decided to do that also backed up our decision to go ahead and proceed with doing a lift pump.
Mm-hmm.
From there, so those were our like low resolution prototypes to figure out what we wanted to do. We just prototypes. We did lots and lots of prototyping. So there's a lot on this slide, but I mean this is just kind of
to
give you an idea of what we prototyped or that we prototyped.
Do you have all these files for us?
Yeah, they're all on here. They're all on here. And this slide, I guess, I mean...
Slide 12.
Slide number 12. I mean, what's nice is that all the pictures are all on one page. And, I mean, if we printed it out, we could, like, write all over it. And maybe that would be useful for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if... Maybe we can come back to this one. We can come back to this one. So this is a slide kind of to demonstrate how deep lifts work. I explained this to you guys on a sheet of paper, but this is kind of to give people an idea of. So this is a slide that you probably also want. Slide number 20, and I explained this to you guys already, was kind of the, this is what sets ours apart from mm-hmm. other deep lift pumps.
Mm-hmm.
That your typical deep lift pump has, you know, your connector rod, your riser pipe, your tube well, and we've eliminated the need for 50 feet of riser pipe. By going for something like that.
Right.
These are great. These
so are this, great. Is pro- this is, I think, a slide that you might want to look at or keep in mind. And then we have...
Oh, sorry, Dana. Do you know, like, how much were you saving? By, like, how much does 50 feet of riser pipe cost?
50 feet of riser pipe.
Or did you have a dollar have, in mind, or was it just you knew it would be cheaper?
We knew that it would be cheaper. I don't know. I don't think we necessarily had, let's see. So this is a breakdown of costs. We have connector rod. I guess we don't have the tube well factored in here, but we believe that it was a significant portion.
Okay.
I mean,
we
haven't figured out how much just yet.
The PVC tube on that slide.
Let's see, PVC connector rod. So, I mean, it looks like, I mean, we're saving probably more than that, probably $10.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because the connector rod is probably 3/4 inch diameter. And if you have a riser pipe,
mm-hmm.
that's probably $10 worth.
So $10 on a $20 part, I mean, the entire unit looks like it's going to be $20. That's a saving of 30%.
Yeah.
Over 30% already.
Yeah. And these numbers probably aren't. I wouldn't trust these numbers too much, but it is fairly significant.
Yeah.
I would believe that we would save probably something close to 30%, probably because of doing that.
Okay.
But saving 30%, we do add cost to having a foot valve on the bottom, probably
right.
a little bit more cost. I think the net benefit in the end is probably something like 20% because we eliminate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think the
roughly.
Yeah. It sounds like, but your intuition was less parts equal, like, greater savings. And
yeah.
I think that's something that's just directly correlates to stuff in 203. You know?
Right.
So.
Less parts. It's also, I guess, in this market, the labor cost is more flexible than the material cost. You have to buy materials, whereas you can leverage like any other thing, labor is less expensive.
And fewer parts also means, I mean, just like 203, right? I mean, fewer parts means it's probably going to be more robust. Mm-hmm. The more parts you have, the more chances of it going to break. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an industry also. So let's see, let's go back up. So we had our video here and all this other stuff. And then strengths. So these are the strengths and weaknesses. Slide number 22. So we can pump more than 50 feet. There's no priming required. Do you guys know what priming is?
Yeah.
You gotta
dump some water in to get it started. That it's repairable and slow cost. However, our weakness was the actual discharge was really low because we were using our arms mm-hmm. and we didn't have a powering unit. And that was at the time because mm-hmm. we were using our arms and doing all this other stuff. And then...
So those are your two. That's your major problem here is to get...
This was at that point.
With fewer parts and... Short three to improve it by 300 gallons per hour.
Yeah, okay. we're trying to. I mean, initially our target was 300 gallons per hour. I mean, that was the minimum, bare minimum.
Right.
So we're trying to go for something. I mean,
closer to 500.
Now we're doing 500. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In my recent power calculations show probably 500 to 600 is probably close to the limit.
Okay.
That we should be able to do. These are breakdowns of cost. And I mean, from this slide forward is kind of, all of the manufacturing and stuff. And
can you go back?
Yeah. This one.
What's that?
Those are.
This is slide 28. These are.
Let's see. This is all the manufacturing that's available there. This is them rolling steel. This specifically rolls of that's where they sell PVC joints.
Okay.
I brought back a bag of this stuff actually.
Okay.
Just so that I could, when I designed anything here, I could design it two parts
you'd
that I brought from there.
Parts.
Right. Yeah.
So you basically imported PVC native PVC parts from Burma.
We had them send us parts.
Right.
So that.
But these guys, you had them.
We brought a couple.
You brought some back so you could actually do your design with those parts as opposed to American parts.
Yeah. And, I mean, what was nice was that, I mean, because they are, we are working with piping,
mm-hmm.
that the inner diameters, most of the parts were interchangeable with parts here.
Okay.
That while our parts are probably, I mean, a lot of the PVC that you'd find at Ace or Home Depot is probably stronger or maybe similar, that we're prototyping with things that are very similar in size to mm-hmm. what they're working with.
Okay.
So, I mean, we had, in some of our videos, what you'll see is you'll see, 50, 60 feet of PVC, and then you'll see, I mean, they're all black and white mm-hmm. with white joints, and then you'll see a blue one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, that blue joint is from Burma.
Mm-hmm.
Are they English or metric?
They are... I think they're some are metric, some are English. I think some are English, some are metric. I'm not sure.
I'm just wondering how you got them to be compatible.
They just coincidentally were. I don't know how.
Yeah. Okay.
They just coincidentally were. I mean, I think all of our stuff. I mean, we go by like schedule 40, schedule 80, 2-inch diameter, et cetera, et cetera. In their stuff, I don't know. It just fit.
Good fit.
Cool. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of their PVC comes from Thailand. I know some of it does. I don't know if a lot of it, but some of it. But yeah, that was on this page.
Okay.
And then all this other stuff is kind of just like how we plan on implementing it, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, actually, this one's probably important. So the thing about our pump is it does require a partnership with the tube well drillers.
Mm-hmm.
The way they drill tube wells, you can see in this picture in the background on slide number 31, is this guy right here is holding, there's a lever, and attached to this is, on this end, is galvanized iron.
Mm-hmm.
rod that goes, or a tube that goes all the way down. Mm-hmm. And on the end of it is, I guess, a drill bit. You could say it's a drill bit. Kind of. It's not rotating or anything of that sort. But it's a hard, a steel head with teeth. Mm-hmm. And essentially, they pour water down there, and they ram this rod right into the soft soil. Mm-hmm. And then when they pull it up, each time they push it down, the water comes up with the soil. Mm-hmm. And essentially, that's how they dig these tube wells. You can imagine that the tube well drillers, these guys are the guys that install the tube wells. And if we're requiring something to be put on the end of a tube well, mm-hmm. Then it's going to be important to talk to these guys about putting this little thing at the end. Mm-hmm. And what we
how big is the diameter of the hole?
Diameter of the hole, they vary. In some areas, it's 2-inch diameters, 2 inches in diameter, or enough for a 2-inch diameter tube well.
So it's not like a 5-inch hole. They're really cutting it very close.
Yeah, they're doing exactly 2.
Okay.
They can do 4, but it gets much, much more expensive. Mm-hmm. But 2 inches, in some areas, we'll do 1.5. Okay. And what we did was we did confirm with them that tube well drillers, we talked to one tube well driller via the guys over at ID, and they said that putting a small collar or putting something at the end for installation was very easy.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you drill it, and then you lower this thing down. And so if you lower this thing down with something in it, then it's fine.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
So we did have to confirm with that. I mean, because if they could, they were like, that's impossible, mm-hmm. then that would negate the point of this. So this is where we left off. And we had a demo. We showed them. I don't know if you guys have seen this video. It's a 30-second video. Maybe you guys should take a look at this on slide 21. Just so you guys, I think. Let's see. So we were testing at the fifth floor of Terman. Mm-hmm. So that's the bottom, all the way up. And so that is 3/4-inch PVC. Mm-hmm. One of the things we spent a lot of time doing was we wanted to be able to take it out and take it apart and do all this other stuff. But in the end, we had to make sure to cement the PVC rods together because they would come apart. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time trying not to do that, but eventually we had to. But notice how we're using our arms.
Yeah.
One person pulling up, one person pulling down. It's just, you're using the wrong muscle group. Mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, at that point, our limitation, or what we decided, was in order to make a big impact, was we need to focus and make a lot of progress underground. Mm-hmm. And everything above ground can be another task.
Right.
So we focused on...
That's really interesting. Basically, you divided the task into underground and above ground, and that's what really how it works when you said you'd optimize one, and then you'd get to a limit, and so you'd have to go to above ground and optimize that until you got your limit, and then you went back down to see what you needed to do.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, I mean, the bouncing back and forth wasn't, I mean... It wasn't an intentional effect that we thought would happen, but, I mean, it happened because we decided to do as much work as we can on this instead of... Because sometimes when you're trying to do everything, you can't be as effective. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was good that we within the span of spring quarter, focused on that.
Yeah.
And then in the 2 weeks that I was there and the time that Niraj spent there, we made tons of progress on a frame. Mm-hmm. Which wasn't too hard because they've been working with frames a lot.
Yeah.
And then integrating the two. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me show you. Let's see. You specifically want to see the valves, right?
Right. Do you have any more of that in the presentation?
Let's see. DR2. I think we go into more detail on the valves in an older presentation. Let me see if I can find that. Design review 2.
So which file is this?
This is Design Review 2, DR2, in the PowerPoint for Design Review number 2. Okay. That's how we're working in Keynote and in PowerPoint. And in let's see if I can find a couple slides. There's the summer one that I want to show you also. But let's tackle the... I think this was more of an update. Let's see. View. Oh, there we go. Is that? Oh, never mind. I take it back. There's not much in this one. Let's see. So, we're curious about valve design. Oh, let's go to the final report. So,
this is the final report PDF?
Yes.
This is Extreme Final Report version 6 PDF.
Yeah. This is a really, really, really long document. Essentially, it's documentation of all of our work. Or that's what it is. Let me see what I can find in here. So if we look at, let's see, design process, timeline, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it looks like that got shrunk. Benchmarking. So this is looking at, this is on page 20, looking at the different kinds of pumps that were out there. Looking at their depths, I mean, there are tons of them that are out there. Let's see. And then this is more benchmarking, looking at all the other pumps, compressed air pumps, diaphragm pumps, exploring technologies. This is prototyping. So, I mean, this was our initial... our very, very rough prototype, right? And we just like
it's page 23.
On page, yeah, or 28 on the document.
Okay, 28 on the document.
But I mean, that's a wooden rod. That's some foam, and these were. This is just kind of how does a one-way valve on a lift pump work? Mm-hmm. And we lifted it like a couple feet.
Yeah.
And this was us still trying to figure out how does a deep lift pump work, or a lift pump work?
Right.
How do one-way valves work? Mm-hmm. What are some good one-way valves? And there's lots of technologies, lots of ways that people have figured out how to do one-way valves.
And those look pretty rough. Did you just cut those with, like, box cutters, or?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Box cutters, X-Actos. Mm-hmm. And this is probably sometime, when was this? Maybe this was... before we left for Myanmar.
Do you have any more of that stuff around?
No, I don't think so. Okay. It might be all trashed.
So that's another check valve assembly you just saw.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or no, these are all. Oh, actually, yes. Never mind. Yeah, that's caption. So then, I mean, then we took the route of buying everything that we could.
So you bought one.
So we bought a check valve. And we turned this check valve into, we don't have a picture specifically just yet. We turned this check valve, this was a check valve, and then we had a washer on the top. And we used that to simulate what a good washer would be. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, essentially the water would go through this, and then, let me see if I can find a better picture.
So you were using a purchased check valve to test how your washers were working.
That's to on test page 31 of the document.
Yep. To test, well, one, to test how a lift pump works.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
I mean, how does it work? Okay, then let's design.
Right.
So we're just trying to figure out ways to, get water up 20 feet.
Okay.
So at this point, we were still doing testing at 20 feet.
Okay.
And we hadn't. Eventually, we decide to replace this with one that we make.
Okay.
But, yeah. Let's see. This over here, this was a flap valve from one of their current pumps. Mm-hmm. I think this is from their pressure pump. And we cannibalized that and used those parts to make a check valve of our own.
Okay. That's from the IDE pump.
Yeah, I mean, that's from the eddy pump.
It's got a spring in it, it's got a washer, it's got a metal plate.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, and then eventually you find we don't need that spring.
Right.
But...
Because the weight of it checks it, it keeps it
safe. Yep, exactly, exactly. Let me see some more pictures. So this is getting... Okay, so there should be another... we should have a more detailed picture of what this looks like. Essentially, it's a check valve here, right? You have a check valve down here. Water comes through this check valve. Mm-hmm. And then we have a washer up here where my hands are.
Mm-hmm.
And then water goes through. The washer helps create the suction for when you're pulling water up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you push down, the water goes through this check valve.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes through the pipe, mm-hmm. above the washer, mm-hmm. and then there's a hole in the pipe that allows the water out.
So basically you're lifting, in this case, I don't know how many inches that is, but is it like 5 inches or 6 inches?
No, we're lifting...
Because you're talking about it's happening within here.
It's happening within there, yeah. Which we're lifting and then it goes out into the actual tube well.
Right.
And then when the tube well, within the tube well... You're lifting
right.
all the way.
That's up. But within this,
you're within that,
it's five, six feet,
or six inches. Or inches. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So from that, we proceed to making our own.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole section on designing. Let's see. There's designing the foot valve. A couple of things that we did at this point were we looked at, this is a check valve. These are just some aluminum rings that we had gotten from the machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at, okay, this is a piston with a check valve.
Mm-hmm.
And how well does this work? And then what if that was that the piston was really heavy?
Mm-hmm.
One thing we explored was the idea of a long loose piston that we heard IDEO had used. And if you attach that to a string... which is nice, then what you can do is let the weight of the piston
mm-hmm.
pull it down. So on the downstroke, the weight of the piston pulls down. On the upstroke, you pull up.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of 50 feet of PVC rod or anything of that sort, you have 50 feet of rope, which was really appealing.
Mm-hmm.
We tried that. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, IDEO has been able to get it to work, which we found out later.
And that's, like, but there's 50 feet of rope, but then what's it contain, like, that's 50 feet of rope, but then you still
and have... And then you have a piston on the bottom.
Right.
But
then that's still contained within the PVC wall. Like,
yes.
The wall to the, okay.
Yep. So, I mean, instead of having a piston and then, having a rod go all the way down.
I gotcha, okay.
And with a washer / piston assembly at the bottom... You have 50 feet of rope go down with a piston
right.
assembly
okay.
at the bottom.
I gotcha.
And you imagine you can pull up,
yeah.
but you can't really push.
Right.
But if it's heavy enough,
you don't.
Then it can pull itself down.
Yeah, okay.
There's a little bit more to that, but we explored that. It didn't work, but we found out later that, I mean, that's exactly what they were using in the AprTech pump.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still looking at that as a potential option for the deep lift.
Okay.
Still, like right now.
Also, it's page or 32 of the document.
Yeah.
Those aluminum rings, they look like they're just hanging it. Like they're all loose and whatnot.
They are all loose.
Is that how they were as you assembled it, or did they get welded, or is that?
They were all loose, and then there's another plate up here.
Uh huh.
These rings nested into each other.
Okay.
And then they got tightened.
Okay, so there's you did some machining to those to make them nest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of nesting them?
That way we could test. I mean, instead of just doing one, we'd have a couple and we can test. Okay, you know, we wanted it about this long. We could also look at some of the rings were thicker walled than others.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could. What that allowed us to do was okay. Let's test. You know, instead of 4 inches of a 4-inch long piston, let's test a 6-inch long piston. Or let's make it heavier, let's make it lighter.
Okay.
Let's do this, let's do that.
I see.
So that allowed us
modular,
to... It was very modular, so we can test out... So we can change things really quickly. And be like, okay, that one didn't work. Let's go machine another one.
Where'd you do that?
I did that at the shop. Okay. I mean, these were all cut. There wasn't any kind of precision machine. It was just like chop saws, just sand it down, you know. Yeah,
and then,
pretty much.
But the nesting part of it?
The nesting, some of them nested, but some of them just kind of like sat next to each other.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't any kind of...
It wasn't like you were trying to get a watertight...
Nah, right. It wasn't. Okay. And then that part, I did on the mill. I was really happy with that one. Let's see. There might be some better pictures in here. Let's see. Tell me if I'm not giving you guys exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So this is where we tried to sit down and we brainstormed different ways of, we need a foot valve on the bottom. How do we do it? And so we kind of... This is page number 33.
It's all the different foot valves.
Yeah. Different ways of putting a foot valve on the bottom and doing all of that stuff. We had a foot valve prototype. Oh, so these are... I was on page 34. These are all parts that I had machined. All of, you know, this is a... So you saw that cylinder assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what would go at the end of it, at the bottom. So it, eventually we were like, okay, you know, that cylinder assembly, we were using that as a piston. Let's turn that into a foot valve, a heavy foot valve.
Right.
So let's make that really heavy. Let's put one of these at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a collar and let's test the idea of a heavy foot valve.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the first prototypes you made, or were these down the line from other prototypes?
These were down the line from other prototypes. Let's see. Well, I mean, there were low, very, very, very low resolutions. This is kind of like the big leap into something that we would actually test on our 50-foot platform.
Right.
So this is more detailed than...
Photos of the low-res ones?
Photos of the low-res ones were you had already seen. I mean, this is a flap valve.
Right.
So, yeah, they were up there.
So those first ones you had shown us, those are the photos there.
So we jumped straight from that to this.
To this, okay.
And what, like, so this is, like, can you just talk about the materials?
Yeah.
This page 34.
This is, these were aluminum.
Okay.
Figure 28.
Yep. These are aluminum. The reason why we call this an H valve is, you can see that it's, I guess, I mean, we just made up a name for it, but it's kind of like an H in the sense that, you have these, you have spring steel bent in this shape so that it can go up, but the lips on the steel prevent it from coming all the way out.
Okay.
And then the weight of the water will push it back down.
Okay.
So that's a check valve in that sense.
Okay, so that cylinder is like, here's the collar and it's doing that.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then, what about the materials on that one?
I mean, I guess there's a rubber sheet to try and get a good seal. Let's see, this, some of these parts, that is PVC, and that is PVC.
Okay.
So what we did was we bought a check valve, we took it apart to see how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, you know, that's pretty simple. So we essentially took their check valve and put it into something that we were going to use.
Okay.
That we could use. So that's all, that part and that part are purchased and then, you know, cleaned up.
So
and
you tested those guys.
We tested them.
What'd you find out?
We found out that they were leaky.
They're both leaking.
They're both leaking here, I guess, because when we put this in the cylinder assembly, there was a lot of leakage through there because I didn't do any kind of press fit or anything of that sort. And then, I mean, if it was going to be press fit, then, I mean, that's not something that they would do, but... There was a lot of leaking, but it did work. They did work.
So you went about trying to fix that?
Yeah. So actually, the brass cylinder, this brass cylinder is pretty heavy, pretty recognized in the magnifying glass lab.
Yeah.
Ooh, Craig probably doesn't want to see that.
We'll say it's a brass cylinder.
Yeah. Not from magnifying glass lab. Oh man. Especially since I found out from how much 12 feet of it costs.
What happened with the brass cylinder?
So if you see that on the bottom, that's...
it's figure 29.
On figure 29, and figure 30, actually. Figure 30 is a brass collar. Mm-hmm. I drilled a hole in it and turned that into a press fit so that this collar would sit, would plug right into the end of PVC. Mm-hmm. So essentially it would
because
be a collar.
Paper, it becomes an effective press fit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you shove this collar in. I mean, it's actually stepped. It's not tapered. It's stepped. So this would plug into it. You can see the line over there.
Yep.
And then what we do is we drop. So the collar would plug into there, and then this cylinder is supposed to seal against this collar.
Okay.
There was a good amount of leakage between the cylinder and the collar, though, which we eventually found ways of fixing. But there was some leakage there. But, I mean, that stuff was done in the shop. Let's see. What else? So, I mean, that was work on a heavy foot valve. Mm-hmm. So that was all work on a foot valve.
Right, right.
Which was the main issue. This is a picture of what I was trying to explain to you earlier. This is on figure 32 on page 36. This was one of the... Which section is this? I guess this is still... Designing and building low-cost connecting rod and piston assembly. Okay, so we guess we talked about the foot valve first. This is at Meyer. This is when we're still doing 20 feet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have your washer. These are all purchased in order to work as quickly as we could. Let's see. What else? So, I mean, these are just close-up views.
Are these things going to be sent... Any of these going to be sent back from Burma? Or are these around?
No, these we took there. And maybe they're gone now.
These would be good to get back.
I don't think they exist anymore. I think they might be trashed. We have a bunch of pictures of them. Not great pictures, but... we saved them. We brought them over there.
See if...
they never came back. I mean, we didn't expect to get them back.
In your email, can you just...
See if there's any of that
ask
stuff.
Ask a question if any of this around haven't said.
So let's see. This is an assembly. So before we tested, so this is kind of going backwards. Before we tested our foot valve, we purchased a foot valve, put it on the bottom, and tested that. Mm-hmm. So kind of the methods that we did. Actually, there's a page in this log that you might want to. I think you might be interested in. Maybe it's in. It's logbook one. There's a page where I list. Oh, I think it might be a logbook. All of the tests. I think it's a log of all of the tests that we did. I'll find it for you. I'll find it for you. But we had a bunch of tests, and what we did was. Whenever we tested something, we'd vary one thing. Mm-hmm. So the jump from pure purchased parts the foot valve purchase, the check valve purchase was we would change one thing, and the one thing we would change would be the piston. Mm-hmm. So we'd change that.
Right.
And we'd leave this the purchased. Mm-hmm. And we'd test how well that works. Mm-hmm. And we'd test a bunch of different ones and, you know, keep one as a control, you know. Mm-hmm. And so... After we were like, okay, we like this check valve. Let's keep this check valve that we're using, and let's change this. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we'd switch up only one thing at a time to make sure that we're making progress. Mm-hmm. And this is where I was telling you that we were working on a rope pump. Mm-hmm. And this is a good picture on page 38, figure 35, of the rings actually put together.
Okay.
So, these are all aluminum rings. You can see the color difference between them because those center two rings are thick-walled steel rings, something that's heavier.
Right.
To try and make the piston heavy. Further prototyping of connector rod. So this is another connector rod and piston assembly. Why does it seem like it's going backwards? Oh, and this is kind of an exploded view of kind of how these are put together.
That's figure 37.
And then, this is our test setup. We did try doing a very, very rough powering unit. Didn't work so great. That's number 39. It was really kludgy. Oh, duct tape. We started calling ourselves Team Tape It Up. We use a lot of duct tape.
What didn't work about it?
What didn't work about it was the stroke length that we needed was really... We needed something like a 2-3 foot stroke length, which was what we were getting from one person pulling up and one person pushing down. And, I mean, just looking at that, you can't get a stroke length like that.
That's really interesting. So what you're saying is that when you were testing the foot valve and you got to a certain point, it was really predicated by getting a 2 or 3 foot
stroke length.
Which was due to how far you could actually put your arm.
Exactly.
And when you actually started making a power source, your first one, which is taped together, fiberboard, or plywood, and some other stuff, you didn't get that kind of stroke length.
We didn't. What was nice was that, I mean, you did. It was easy to get that kind of power because we were using our weight and all the other stuff. But we needed to reverse the mechanical advantage such that because we had so much power, we needed to essentially gear it up.
Right. So okay. So that was your first one. So,
I mean, and then this is when we hadn't decided. We thought, I mean, we did decide that we wouldn't focus on the powering unit, but we thought some kind of rough powering unit would be helpful.
Right.
Instead of just using our arms, but our powering unit was just not great. It was difficult to even get something near there. I mean, you're at the top of 5 stories. You don't actually have a platform, and this is as good as we could do without, falling over the edge.
Sure. No, that's good.
But that was our poor attempt at doing some kind of powering unit. We had a bunch of things that we learned, and then also realizing that we needed a really long stroke length. One of the things is. You think about it, per stroke, there's some loss. And if you can get in, let's say, if we measure the amount of water that we're pumping up in terms of inches, if in 2 inches, in one stroke, we pump 10 inches, right? Maybe we get 3 inches of loss, right? And 3 inches, you'll always get 3 inches of loss. So, but instead, you do 20-inch stroke length, and you get 20 inches of water, and you still lose only 3 inches of water. That's much better than doing the 20 inches in one stroke than 2 10-inch strokes.
Yeah.
Because in the 2 10-inch strokes, you would lose 6 inches.
Right.
And it's something similar to that effect. But it's, especially at 50 feet, your leakage is so high that you want to minimize all of the leakage and all the losses that you would get from things like that.
So your losses, you're saying, mostly happened on the downstroke or when you stopped pulling?
When you stopped, so water is always leaking. Water is always leaking through these one-way valves. And you can tell because, let's say you get water all the way up. And if you sit there and wait, 2 minutes, 5 minutes later, all the water is drained out.
Right.
So the idea is that you do it quick enough that the water is leaking, but you're still pulling up more water than it's leaking.
But the advantage of having a long stroke is you're pulling more water per stroke.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that, yeah, you're kind of like cushioning your tolerances.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, that's like, you know, the mm-hmm. same stuff that you saw. Was that enough? Do you want me to spend more time on those valves, or?
Well, I'm really interested in seeing three specific generations of the valve.
Three specific generations of the valve.
We did this. We got this out of it, but this isn't enough. We fixed it, we did this. We fixed it, we got this. That's what I'm interested in.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like that for two or three parts of the project.
Let's see. Let's decide what those parts are. There's the foot valve. There's the piston. The piston includes the check valve. And then there's the frame.
Foot valve, check valve are two different things.
So the reason we call it a foot valve is just it's a check valve. A foot valve is a check valve
okay.
that's located at the bottom.
Right.
So that's the only reason we call it a foot valve. Okay. But essentially, they're one-way valves.
Right.
So there's a foot valve, which is one. The other is the piston assembly.
Which is riding on top of it in the tube.
Yes.
Like this, right?
There's also the connector rod, which, I mean, goes down 50 feet. But that we can loop into the piston assembly.
Okay.
So that's two. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is the powering unit.
Right.
So I think those are probably the three main parts.
Right. Those are the three I need.
So let's look at different examples of each of those. The frame, I can definitely show you. Oh, you're looking at the time.
No,
let's see. Time is 4:23. So what?
We have notebook.
Books. Oh, we should. Let's write in this notebook.
We could also, if there are any pictures of this stuff in there.
Yeah, well,
we can just drag them to another folder and say, here's the three, right? Mm-hmm. Or copy them to.
Yeah, this is more for my own. Yeah. Like,
I think that's good for kind of.
So we have, one is the foot valve. Two is the check valve.
No, you mean the piston.
Oh, check, yeah, piston. Thank you. Piston assembly. And then three is the frame. All
right. Right, and I want...
Three iterations of each. So
we talk about, we did this, we found this out, we did this, we found this out.
Okay,
we did this,
we found this. Let's see. Let's do the check valve first. We'll work from top down.
Okay.
Actually, that's not top down. Let's do the check valve first.
Okay. So we saw the beginning where you just had these flaps, and you found out those leaked. So the next thing you did was making those H valve type things.
So we had candidates.
They had more weight.
We had candidates for a check valve. So let's see. I have pictures of the end that we ended with. Let's see. Maybe
it's right now. I have two steps. I've got your rough ones, and then I've got your two candidates.
And then I have a final one for you. One, two, and then so you have two. The third one. Let me give you the third one.
And that's in the folder.
Documents, summer. The third one is over the summer.
Okay. And that's in the PDF.
Deep lift presentation PDF.
And that was from...
Oh, actually, let's see. September 7th, 2007.
And the second one, Dana, was the... That was the one, the H-valve that had the sprung steel and all that stuff?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So that was step two.
Yep.
I mean, if you have four steps, that's fine, too.
Yeah. Oh, this is frame stuff.
And we can come back to the frame stuff, too.
Pictures. Spring break, summer. I'm going to show thumbnails.
Go over to the left of where you were. go, see the blue, go right to the far right, right there. Now click select the IMG file.
Oh, you can't show thumbnails of all of them?
All at once?
Yeah. Like in here, it should be able to show thumbnails, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
References.
Or do show view options?
Yeah, that's probably it. Picture. Oh, no. Right, you know what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah. Not sure. Let's do it in Bridge then.
Oh, look who's using Bridge.
I know.
It's really great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's see, we're check that.
Excuse me.
So for the check valve, we had the rough proto, right? I mean, super rough. And then, I mean, I think we could say 2 and 3 involve purchase parts. Number 2 would be purchased.
Yeah.
Purchased parts. So that would be the one composed of that white check valve with, right. And then. From and then number 3, I think we could say that the cylinders, the aluminum / steel cylinders / rings, with a check valve made from IDE parts.
Okay.
And then we did a couple iterations with that because we kind of took those apart. And from there, I mean, within that, we did something like rope. We tested the rope idea, you know, with a piston attached on the rope. I guess we could call that the piston assembly. And then we tested the different flaps. Flaps / check valves. So, and then from there, we go to number 4. So what do we eventually settle on? Pictures. It is reading it from the CD, which takes a while.
Yeah.
So there's that, and I think we can.
So what was the next step after that?
So, let's see. From here to here, we're just getting to see how it works. The purchase parts help us illustrate how it works on a higher level.
Right.
From there to there was replacing the purchase parts with parts that we could make. And then from 3 to 4 was.
That's when you got the H valves and all that.
We had the H valve and the flap valve.
So you made 2 choices, H and flap.
Yeah.
And then after the H and flap?
We decided to, we stuck with something similar to the H valve. We went to pursue something similar to the H valve, but one of the things was we found that the washer, or the seal, on the H valve wasn't great.
Okay.
And so from there we proceeded to getting something with better sealing. And a picture of that right here.
And that's image 0220 JPEG.
0220. So you'd see that it's similar to the H valve in the sense that you have So actually, hold on. It's the H valve. We're mixing two. I think we're mixing two things up. The H valve and that flap valve. Mm-hmm. Those were actually for the foot valve.
Right.
Those are for the foot valve. We're not talking about the foot valve. We're talking about the. We're talking about the check valve and the piston assembly.
Oh, no, I was confused. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think we're confusing those two. I confused those two.
Just like, speak for yourself. you're driving this train.
So So for the check valve, we had...
So check valve, the first thing we saw, that was the flaps.
So there was... So we had the rough protos, right? And then we had the purchase parts. So the purchase parts was the one with the ring here, and then we had... that. Do you guys remember something like that? Where this is white PVC, and then there's there's some washers. Mm-hmm. So this is number two, right? And then number three was we had a cylinder with rings, and there was a plate up here and a plate down here. Mm-hmm. And what was in here, right? What was in here was parts made from IDE. It was a check valve made from IDE. And what that was, remember there was that picture where there was a spring in there and some other stuff? Mm-hmm. That was part of the check valve.
Right.
So that would be number three.
Okay.
And then number four was jumping from there to here.
So you did not use an H valve for this?
No, the H valve was for the foot valve.
Okay.
And you'll see how that H valve evolves into something else.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So... From there,
that's the fourth check valve. This one is 0220.
Yep.
And this is not the valve at the bottom.
Not the foot valve. This is the one that's moving up and
down. That's in the piston.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Which is what we're talking about. We're talking about the piston assembly.
So all of this is the piston assembly.
This is all the piston assembly.
Okay. Great. Right. And we're going to talk about the foot valve later.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the piston assembly. And essentially, what it looks like is you have... you have a plate, right, that looks like that. And then you have another plate. So this so you have two plates. And essentially, what happens is on the upstroke, so this is just a stopper to prevent this from slipping right off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But on the upstroke, when you're pulling up, then this surface seals against this surface.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And water can't get through. Mm-hmm. But on the downstroke, then water goes through here.
Got it.
And so you have this piston and the diameter... The outside diameter of that fits pretty well, and it seals pretty well with the inside diameter of the tube
itself.
Yep.
Right.
So that was the most recent iteration. You can see some better pictures. Let's see.
This in Burma?
This is in Burma. Okay. This is in Burma. So all yeah, yes, yes. So let's see. Oh, this is a better picture right here. This is without the. This is what's under that blue washer. I took like four or five pictures, and then every once in a while, one or two of them would be in focus.
Is that grease or is that
tape? That's a weld.
Oh, okay.
That's a weld.
Okay.
Yeah, so not in focus. So that one looks like it's in focus. If, when they send this, when they send the whole pump to us, this will be part of it.
Okay. Is that in the works? Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
It's not in the works. Okay. We've been waiting to hear back from you. We haven't been able to reach them. Okay. But that is number four. And that's where we're at the moment. However, pursuing in what we're pursuing in parallel is the idea of a long loose piston, which is an idea that
a
long loose piston. It's a really neat idea that IDEO came up with for Apertech. And this is the idea that if you have a piston that's like 2 or 3 feet, that's 2 or 3 feet, and it's loose because it doesn't, it's not like a washer, it doesn't seal in using the actual materials, that there's a good amount of give here, not tons, but a good amount. But what it takes advantage of is, I mean, it's loose, but what it takes advantage of is that if you pull it really fast, what it's going to do is the water itself will seal really well. The water is going to try and get through here. There's a small annulus through which the water is going to try and get through, and the boundary layer created the viscosity of water is going to go. It's going to travel, and then it's going to create its own seal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you move it fast enough,
mm-hmm.
and if it's long enough. I mean, you imagine if you just try and do that, water doesn't get through, no problem.
Right.
But if water needs to travel 2 or 3 feet through a really, really small annulus,
right.
then it's going to be very difficult for the water to get through, and it creates a very good seal.
Cool.
So this is the idea.
Whereas then on the downstroke, it's loose, and water can actually come up.
Yeah. Yeah. On the downstroke, there would actually be a check valve in here.
Oh, okay.
Which would allow the water through. But, I mean, the idea of this long loose piston is that you can attach it to a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A string, and because it's loose, it'll mm-hmm. drop down fairly easily.
Yeah.
So, we're looking at that. We've talked to, I think we've talked to Martin Fisher for Apertech, and he said that go ahead and try it. That he doesn't mind. I mean, the thing also that was frustrating was that there was. Well, I mean, for a little bit, we weren't sure if we were allowed to try and build on any of the work that was done with Apertech because. I mean, you had people that were working on solving this problem. The problem is solved. It's just not as cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pump that's sitting out in front of IDEO, $150, built specifically for, to be super robust, and costs $150, and it's made for people in Kenya, mm-hmm. or farmers in Kenya. And we wanted to build on that, but we weren't sure how, you know,
yeah.
legally what was allowed and what wasn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But over the summer, we found out that they would be fine if we tried to build on some of those ideas, which is cool. But
okay, so this guy is the final one you worked with where it's the idea of that the you have a disc here, and this is made out of steel,
mm-hmm.
but there's a washer in there, a rubber washer, a rubber pad.
No.
So it's just steel on steel.
That's a guide.
My question is, how do you keep from... how do you keep from leaking?
That's cool. That's really cool. There's more stuff that goes on there.
Just click it to get rid of that. Just click it. Just click back up.
That's cool. So, you imagine that lip of that washer
mm-hmm.
seals against that. So it's PVC sealing against metal.
The lip of this washer here.
That's
the blue washer.
The blue washer. So the lip of the blue washer looks like this.
So it's PVC on
PVC
steel?
On steel, yeah.
Huh.
And PVC, you can imagine, is pretty cheap.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have imagined that would give you a great seal.
Yeah. Interesting. It seals decently well.
Which is the PVC and which is the
So steel here's one. The PVC.
Right.
Oh, and
that's
then
what
seals
this
on.
Is here.
Yeah. And then that right there. Is this.
Right.
And then you have...
Right. And that seals well enough.
That seals well enough, yes.
And that's the piston, the bottom of the piston.
That's the piston. That's the bottom of the piston. Yes.
Okay.
And this is just to keep it from going back through, but this is the real critical part, that middle one. The
Yes.
The connection there.
Yep.
The one in the inside. And well, that's still PVC.
No, no, no. This seals against... This surface seals against this surface.
Oh, okay.
This top one is to prevent it from...
Oh, that's the top one. Okay. Okay. Got it.
So it's this one that seals right here.
Yes, yes.
On the upstroke, it pulls against it, and it's because of the tension in your linkage that it actually holds it to a good enough seal. Okay. And this one just keeps it from falling out.
Yeah. So when you're pulling up, then this goes down. I mean, you pull this up.
Sure.
Then this seals against here.
When you pull this up, this bangs against this and yanks everything up.
No, no. This, when you pull up on this, friction pulls this down.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
You're pulling up against this, and this is lifting all the water. Yeah. Okay, then when it goes, when you're letting it back
down.
When
you push down, then the water goes.
What's to keep this from not riding up against this thing is going back down?
As you go down, when you push down.
Oh, because it's still a linkage.
Then the friction will hold on, will push up on these walls.
Right. And this isn't a terribly good seal at all, so water can flow through if you push it down on it.
It's supposed to allow water through.
Right. And so how does that look to allow water through? Is that what that's what this is about here?
Yeah, that's why there are all holes in there.
Okay, good.
That's why all
holes in there. Okay, now I see what's going on. So when it goes down, there are actually holes there.
There are actually holes there to allow water through.
Okay, very cool. Yep. Got it.
And then, I mean, one of the things that we're looking to optimize is to try and make the holes bigger or make the path of water through this valve more free or more open.
Interesting.
Because
you might have to flute that in some way. Get it.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. Or I mean, widening holes is the easiest option. And sure. There, yeah.
Right, because of manufacturing issues.
But the list on the list of things to do is to try and improve flow through that.
Did you see Janine Benes speak the other night?
No.
She was talking about using basically Fibonacci-type curves for propellers and fans. And it turns out they're much more efficient, and they don't make noise, the fans, that kind of thing. And
really?
Way more thrust. You might want to look at that. I actually wrote it down in my notebook, like who those people are, just look
Whoa.
At the technology.
Fibonacci.
You might need
that's
that
cool.
Kind of thing.
That's
cool. Yeah, it was like, whoa, one of those amazing moments where you go, look at that. This guy who makes these fans and whatnot, and propellers, they're really just spiraling right out, you know, like a shell.
Right. Wow. That's cool. So that's number four of check valve, or piston assembly. Piston assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, piston assembly.
Okay, great.
So let's move to the foot valve.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the foot valve...
Okay, and I just want to make a note for a person transcribing this, that we were basically looking at images 0219 through 0231.
Yep. Let's see if there's some other pictures in here that you might be interested in. Okay, let's look at the foot valve.
Okay.
So for the foot valve, first thing we did was we did, there are those, we didn't really have super rough prototype. We just bought one. I wouldn't say the first one was purchased foot valve.
Okay.
And that was that large white foot valve
that
you guys saw attached to the very end. You remember that?
I remember that.
Let's find it. I mean,
was that the one with it had a ball on it or something? It was PVC.
It was PVC, black PVC, and then white.
Let's go.
Oh yeah. Let's.
I'd rather not leave our place here, so I'm just gonna break that down.
Let's
and
go back.
We'll go back to it's on the CD under Document Spring.
Yep. It let's go in, through. Let's go to
final report.
Yeah. Let's open that up. Scroll down. Much more. I don't know if I've even read through this whole thing. keep going. Keep going.
Was that it?
No, that was the
that's
number.
The piston, right? That's
that was number that two of the check valve.
Okay, so that's the one.
Oh, actually, oh, go up. Yeah, no. So this was the check valve. This was the foot valve. Foot valve left. Figure 24 on page 31. So yeah, that is the one that you're
talking about. Final report, yeah. Version 6.
Okay.
So this is the purchased
okay.
foot valve. I mean, I guess they look similar, but right. I mean, in terms of size, this is much bigger.
Okay.
I mean, the outside
this
diameter
fits
of that,
in
that fits inside there.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So to give you an idea of size.
Okay.
So, but that was the purchased foot valve that we started testing everything with.
So now we're looking at, so this is part of the piston assembly.
Yeah, that's part of the piston assembly. And then here on page 28, what we were trying to do was, this is where, I mean, there's a whole section in here that talks about trying to develop our foot valve.
Mm-hmm.
And we come up with crazy ideas, trying to be like, okay, what if we, you know, have some kind of material that expands in water, mm-hmm. and when it falls down there, it touches the water and expands, and
mm-hmm.
or maybe there's latches, or I mean, we come up with a bunch of crazy stuff, trying to figure out ways to, if we have a collar on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
ways to sink a foot valve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and one of those ways was, so we have that purchase part, right? One of the ideas that we tested and we liked was a heavy foot valve. So we had this idea of a heavy foot valve. And that was that brass cylinder.
Mm, okay.
And inside that brass cylinder, I mean, the idea of the heavy foot valve was that you would have, inside this tube well, you would have this plug. And then you'd have it's not so clear. This would be the heavy foot valve.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy foot valve. And this is the collar.
Right.
And the idea is the heavy foot valve, the weight of the heavy foot valve would keep it at the bottom.
Right.
And then you could have, you know, something so that you come in and hook it.
Right.
Let's repair it or let's lower it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
do you guys think about like a screw type thing to the bottom?
We thought about screws and yeah. It was, I mean, imagine trying to thread something 50 feet below you.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be really hard. But, I mean, those were all things that we thought about. I mean, screws would be awesome if we could do it. Screw to a ledge.
Yeah.
So we decided to go for a heavy foot valve, and by the end of spring quarter, the idea that we were pushing was a heavy foot valve.
Okay.
And inside that heavy foot valve was that H valve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So at the bottom here, this guy right here was either the H valve, or it was that flap valve. So it was one of these two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Either the H or the flat.
Yep. So that was figure 28.
Okay. So
page 34.
Go?
So by the end of spring quarter, we stuck with 28, or the H valve. We stuck with the H valve.
Figure 28.
Yep.
Okay.
So we stuck with that.
And you like that one because?
The flow was much better and it didn't leak as much. This one leaked tons.
Okay.
This one leaked a lot.
So the flat valve leaked a lot. The H valve didn't leak as much.
Didn't leak as much.
And
it's still
leaked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving on.
So I mean, essentially, on figure 29, this is the heavy foot valve, and at the very bottom of that, right there,
mm-hmm.
is where that foot valve would be.
So this, the whole brass tube is the foot valve.
It's the heavy foot valve.
The
That's
foot
the idea.
Valve.
Yes.
That was going to be sitting inside the tube.
Yeah.
And you needed that.
It
kind
was
of
sitting
moment.
Inside the tube.
Right.
Resting on this collar.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Which we proposed would be installed during
this collar here?
Installation. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so it's inside. This is the heavy foot valve. And so, I see.
And
I
what we're not seeing is the PVC that would be resting on that collar.
Exactly.
And this is basically jammed into the PVC, and this rests right on the PVC. Okay, good.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, and the idea of a collar could be taken a bunch of ways.
Right.
It could just be a ledge that's already in the PVC.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else. But, I mean, this was our collar.
Okay. Yeah. So what happened with that idea?
You know, we were testing concepts.
All right.
What eventually, so that was number two. We tested it, we liked it. There was still leakage between where the heavy foot valve rests and the collar, right? Also, one of the things was what we also encountered was when we tested it in Burma, with a frame, we were pulling up so much water, we were generating so much, more than what we were doing with our arms over here.
Mm-hmm.
We were generating so much power that we were pulling up that
heavy breath.
The heavy foot valve. And it'd come up, and then it'd fall back down. So it'd go like, doink, doink, doink.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of the heavy foot valve worked for when we were using our arms. But if we want higher flow, it wasn't working as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So when you improved up top, you had to work on that because it wasn't heavy enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do?
So from here, what we did is let's go to that pick. Go back to bridge. Which one? Is it right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we came up with was, well, if we're going to have a collar... If this is going to be the collar, right, why not seal against the collar? If we have a collar already, why don't we create something that looks very similar to the H-valve? I mean, the H-valve stops right there, right? That's the H-valve.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea is we'd have something like that we'd have that attached to the pipe and we'd jam it down. That's what this is for. That it would,
it's almost like an sprint. Arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we jam that down, and then if we really needed to, we'd pull hard, and we'd pull it up.
So it's actually going to have a little taper here, so you can get it out too, right?
And what material is that arrow part?
This is steel, and I have let me pull up a picture of it, but I wanted to draw it before I showed you guys the picture.
Oh, so it would just push away. The collar is PVC, so the steel would push the PVC away.
No, it wouldn't push the PVC. The PVC would push the steel. Oh, no, let's see. That was our attempt at...
Wait, I'm confused. You're saying the PVC would push the steel.
You're saying push the...
Well, this would push through
the PVC. Yes.
Oh, wait.
That is, it would
push the PVC. I thought it was a solid thing.
Oh, that's what I thought too.
It's not solid. It's flexible. It's sheet. It's like that.
Oh, that's really
now cool. I get it.
Okay,
right. So it's spring. It's springy. Let me see if I can find it. So that was.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
So that's one version.
Now, how does it hold itself down, though?
We have a bunch of pictures of it. So I mean, do you see that ledge?
Yeah, yeah, but. When it gets pulled up, why isn't water coming through there?
When it gets pulled up, water is supposed to come through.
Right.
But when you push down, then you have this sealing against that collar.
Because the force of the...
Right. Got it. So when you push down, water forces this closed, and then all the water that's in this area isn't going back down into the well.
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
It's going through the piston.
So is this rubber?
So yeah, that's rubber. That's rubber.
So you have a big, heavy rubber washer sitting against that.
That's reinforced by, I mean, maybe a washer behind it, like a metal washer behind it.
Mm-hmm. But, and this guy is just the way you're going to yank it out when you got to yank it out.
Yes, yeah. And so, do you see that? That, and we have, so that, let's see, what we were looking at was, actually, I don't know, there should be a better picture somewhere else.
That's the picture, 0300 in the IDE picks. Look at that. Okay.
So this is a. So this is the washer. Oh, that's the underside of it.
Right.
And this is the top side. So not image 9620. That's the top. Mm-hmm. And 9621 is the top. 9620 was the bottom, and you can see that's just the spring steel on the bottom. But that's that's it sitting on that collar in the PVC. And let's see, where was I going? Oh, to install it, we had. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's more pictures of the washer or the piston assembly.
That's the piston.
Yeah, that's the piston. I shouldn't have shown you that. Don't confuse me. Okay. Oh, here you go.
This is figure.
This is figure 0624. So imagine that what you can do to install it. I mean, this is the washer right there.
Right.
That's the piston that I was showing you before, right?
Right.
But attached to that also is something like this.
Where you can actually get in there and yank it out.
So the way that attaches is, it goes in and you twist it. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually latch onto it.
And that's on the piston itself.
That's on the piston itself. On the piston assembly. It's a part of the piston assembly. Do you see how that works?
Yeah, the whole assembly there.
Well, yeah, I'm getting...
He's saying when you want to take it out.
Wait, when you want to install it or take it out. So, essentially, it's...
But you're just leaving that.
It's a slot.
It can be there. It doesn't matter.
And you leave that in there, but like the suction on the up... Yeah, I mean, it might not be important, but that thing not being just being sheet steel that's not going to suck any water up, but water's getting sucked up from the piston. No, that's right. From the check valve. The water gets pushed in when you go down and the one-way check valve.
Yeah, right. Actually, let's.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
Yeah, does that?
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you go down, then it just okay.
Yeah, it's like which one stays closed, which one stays open.
Mm-hmm.
But
got it. When you want it, when you pull it up, the piston valve is closed, but the bottom valve is open.
Right.
And when you push down.
Right, and when you push down, that thing, all that matters is it seals that way so that water doesn't go right back down.
And the piston valve opens up.
Yeah, and then it's loosey, but okay, yeah.
All right.
You know,
what's the next improvement on
that? PowerPoint that picture does a pretty good job of showing that.
Yeah. No, sorry, it just...
It takes a little bit of jogging.
No, it does. I mean, I've been working with this for a while.
And I totally thought that thing was a solid mass.
Yeah.
That's why...
I mean, slides 13 through 19 on the final presentation actually does a pretty good job of showing it. That
right.
Here... So, this is the...
So, what was
these
the
are all the parts.
Improvement on it? We're just running out of time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Rush through. What was the next improvement, or was that it?
The next improvement was... Let's see if I can... So, having this H valve. So, from here, what we start to realize is that our foot valve now becomes a limiting factor. That water going through this valve is... If you look at let's see. Where was it? So that washer there?
Yeah.
You have a collar that looks like that. And then you have a washer that seals against it. Mm-hmm. The problem is that on the upstroke, mm-hmm. when you're trying to pull water through, when this is up, you have this which is hitting against that, which is preventing it from going up any further, right?
Mm-hmm.
And water's trying to go through, and water has very little space to get through. I mean, do you see these arrows? I mean, mm-hmm. water is trying to get through, and there's very, very little space for it to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with, if we're doing like a 2-3 foot stroke length,
right.
we're pulling up. Water is trying to get through. More water is trying to get through than this valve is allowing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is we're generating, it's not, what's happening is we're sucking the valve out, and then we're putting it back in. We're sucking it out, and we're putting it back mm-hmm. in because we're pulling out so much water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've tried iterating on this. From here we tried two things. One, we tried iterating on this by iterating on this foot valve by making this collar bigger, and I mean just changing and working on improving that. The other thing we worked on was if we're going to require a collar.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to require that they install a collar, we could also, another option is to require that a permanent foot valve be installed also.
Mm-hmm.
This does eliminate the possibility of repair.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can guarantee that foot valve can last 5 years, which is probably the life of the tube well anyways.
Mm-hmm.
5 years is about the life of any tube well.
Mm-hmm.
If it can last, if that ball valve or if that foot valve in the bottom can last 5 years, then it's worth it.
Oh, cool. Okay, so what was the next step?
So the next step was what we were trying to do was try and make a foot valve that was repairable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try an alternative that's much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what we decided to try was a ball valve.
Mm-hmm.
Simple ball valve works like. You have a ball. You have a bar, which we call a ball breaker.
Mm-hmm.
So on the upstroke, the ball sits up here, and water gets through.
Mm-hmm.
Downstroke, it just goes down.
Sucks back in.
Sucks down into it.
Exactly. So that's what this is a picture of. That's the ball breaker that you're mm-hmm. looking at.
And that's image 2288.
Yeah. So right here. So, I mean, that's pretty much all that is an adapter. Mm-hmm. If you had, you know, a 2-inch PVC and you wanted to adapt that to a smaller,
yeah.
that's all we were using.
Right.
And we got a marble that was big enough to seal off that hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a marble. So essentially, instead of any kind of manufacturing, what you're going for is, oh, let's just buy an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this prototype is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cheap to do. And so we put a ball valve in there, and what was great was, I mean, before when we were pumping with the old valve,
mm-hmm.
we were increasing the stroke length, we were increasing it, and we could not get past a flow rate of something like 350, 400.
Mm-hmm.
We hit a bottleneck, and we were trying to
with the old H.
Yeah, with this guy.
Right.
We haven't given it a name, but
so
the spring valve.
So it was 300 to 350.
It was like something around 300 to 350 gallons per hour.
Was your limit on that?
Was our limit on this, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we tried increasing the stroke length, I mean, it makes sense that if you increase the stroke length that your flow rate should increase.
Right.
And we almost doubled the stroke length and nothing happened.
And that was your limiting
factor. And that was because water was trying to get through here, but the valve wouldn't let it through.
Yeah.
So the second, we didn't change anything except for we left all the pistons, the piston assembly the same. And we changed that bottom foot valve to that, to mm-hmm. a ball valve. And we spiked up to like 600 gallons per hour. I mean,
wow.
At the best, you know. Okay. I mean, our average was much higher. Our average was around 500.
So
and that was because we weren't constricting the flow of water through that valve anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it was before we were like, okay, you know, doing it by hand, you know, that really didn't matter because we weren't pulling up enough water to mm-hmm. make a difference. And then once we got a frame that was good enough to be able to pull tons of water, then we needed to fix that foot valve.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that we fixed that foot valve, I mean, then we're getting pretty good water flow.
Right.
You didn't think about
making that an installable thing?
We are... I have a design that we haven't tested yet. But that is an idea that you could have one of these that's installed.
That if you did a similar assembly that you have for that spring valve, just as an attachment, but it's hollow up through it, the outside you have that so it locks in, so you can grab it out if you need to, but the ball valve is actually...
Yeah. But the thing is, what it would lock onto. I mean, the trouble with our heavy foot valve and a couple other things was sealing whatever assembly, whatever foot valve assembly, to that collar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I mean, we are looking at things like that.
Because then you lose your... Well...
I mean, that's the thing. You either...
Oops. You don't care about the water getting through there, or not really. This is where you care about the water coming through and it's unobstructed.
Yeah, but you don't want water leaking through there.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a design problem.
Right. Got it.
So at the moment, I mean, we have two good solutions, and one is this improved, the improved version of this, which we tried. It worked for a little bit, but then it failed. But we think we can get...
That's
we're pretty sure.
Valve.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we don't have a name for it, but we can call it the spring valve.
Okay.
Or this metal spring valve. We'll call it that.
The ball valve.
Yeah. So the improved metal spring valve is number one, and number two is the ball valve, both of which we believe will give us a good enough... Well, will not constrict the flow of water.
What kind of ball have you ended up using?
Just the marble.
And that's a robust enough material?
Oh, yes.
A piece of glass, or is it plastic? Or
glass. Glass is stronger than you think. You'd be surprised. I'm pretty impressed with glass.
And it's just going against a PVC reducer joint.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Wow. Which is, yeah, I mean, you don't even have to make anything. You just buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Done.
That's fantastic.
I mean, our prototype was, we just like, hey, go buy marble. Hey, go buy, you know, an adapter. Put together. Wow, it works great. And we actually had 3 feet of PVC with this on the end, poured water in it, and watched the amount of water leak, and it was like, wow, that's not very much. I mean, there was leakage. There's always leakage, but it was pretty good.
So much less than the other one.
It was pretty good.
That's amazing. It's so simple. Like,
I mean, ball valves are really good. And water flow around a marble is... I mean, water flow... I mean, you think about fluid flow around a sphere or water.
Right.
It's much better than...
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's where we're at with the...
Perfect.
So, let's see. One, two... You can say three.
Three.
Is... I mean, we have the... metal spring valve. So the heavy foot valve moved, not heavy enough. So we had the metal spring valve, constricted flow, and then we went to a ball valve.
Fantastic.
Or that led us to ball valve or improved metal spring valve. All right.
At some point this week, I want you to talk to me about flow around the sphere, so we can make a little diagram like why this is a better thing. Okay.
Yep.
Great.
So that's all right. So the third thing was the frame. Oh, let's start the page. This is how.
So your first iteration with frame was actually your arms.
Yeah. You could say that.
You just wanted to move water. And the second one was the picture you showed us where you said you didn't have enough stroke length.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two.
So we'll call that the kludgy one.
Right.
Kludgy lever. and you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Third one. So now we're getting into the stuff that we're spending time over the summer doing. So this is a whole nother PowerPoint. So talking about summer. So we had.
So this is in the deep lift presentation keynote in the summer 07.
Summer 07. Documents. Summer 07. So. Let me run through this presentation.
And we're specifically looking right now at the power source or the frame.
So this is kind of a presentation of what was done over the summer. So general timeline. This is on this slide. This is kind of what Neeraj did. Neeraj worked on the platform there, tested some of our Stanford concepts, mm-hmm. like the heavy foot valve. He helped develop the foot valve because our heavy foot valve wasn't working very well. And we worked on some frames, and then I spent some time there working on frames and some other stuff. Let's keep going. So this is the first frame. The first frame involved what we did was that's a pump head. So what they did for the first frame was they took one of their existing pumps mm-hmm. and kind of retrofit that and turn that into a deep lift. Diagrams for that, what they tried to do was you have two pistons. They turned the left piston into a deep lift, and they were trying to use in this first frame a combination of lift and suction. Mm-hmm. So this would pull the right one would pull water up to 33 feet, and then the left one would do the rest of the work in terms mm-hmm. of suction, because you can't suck until you get past a certain amount. So that was that frame. It worked decently well, but what it did require was this design did require, I think, a 4-foot diameter tube well. Mm-hmm. And that's what this design required.
A 4-foot diameter tube well.
Or not 4-foot diameter, 4-inch diameter. Four-foot diameter, that'd be huge. It's a pit.
And you can swim in that.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you just go in there. So this is a diagram of what it looked like. So they had like a 2-inch plunger design, mm-hmm. But the flow rate was really low. Mm-hmm. And so they changed it to a 4-inch plunger. And that works decently well, but... you would require something like that. Mm-hmm. We can talk more about that.
So the next step?
So These are the results. Flow rate's too low for 2-inch, 4-inch diameter yields good flow, but it's expensive. So in the 4-inch, they were trying to use both Stanford foot valve and plunger were leaky. We needed a better foot valve and plunger. So we improved the foot valve. That's kind of a good picture of what it looked like. Here's a plunger. And this is a video. This is frame two. This is second frame that we worked on. This is Neeraj trying to change into trying, before they had two tubes going into the ground. But what was important was using both legs.
Right.
So this was his attempt at trying to use both legs and translating that into a single piston. Mm-hmm. He has this interesting linkage to use both legs and translate that into motion on pumping a single piston up and down. And then that was frame two results. It's, I mean, a relatively complicated mechanism with lots of parts. And so we get into frame three. This is kind of when I jumped in. Frame three and frame four are very similar, so I'll just jump straight to frame four.
What did you learn from three?
Frame three, what we learned from frame three was kind of the dimensions that we were looking for. Okay. We had the general idea of a rocker arm and a bunch of other things, which you'll see in four.
Right.
But frame three was, I guess you could say, a rough prototype for preparing for frame four.
Okay.
Frame four, essentially. So you have a rocker arm.
Mm-hmm.
You have your rocker arm. You have your connector rod.
Mm-hmm.
You have your treadles. You have chains that attach to the treadles. You have a counterweight. And then, I think that's pretty much it. But I mean, essentially, those are the bare minimums. What's really nice about this design is it reverses the mechanical advantage, because you can provide so much power, and you don't want to be stepping like this. Mm-hmm. There's an ideal step length,
mm-hmm.
And I have an Excel spreadsheet which you can specify in there using just basic trig. I want my right foot and left foot to be at any given time no more than 9 inches apart,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And from there, you translate that into how do we turn 9 inches into a stroke length, 9 inches of step length into a stroke length of 3 feet, mm-hmm. 2 feet, 3 feet. And so you have your rocker arms and changing lengths like that. What this frame allows us to is, I'll show you pictures in a little bit. It was able to give us a pretty long stroke length.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get... I take it back. So our flow rate topped off at 240 mm-hmm. gallons per hour. I said 300 to 350.
Right.
We topped out at 240. Maximum flow rate of 240 with increasing stroke length. We need a better foot valve, a better plunger, and this is all the stuff that I kind of talked to you about.
That's when you found that out.
That's when we found all this stuff out. And this is worth looking at. This is the flow rate. That flow is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So we timed it, and we were able... I mean, what we do is we had like a 5-gallon bucket, and we saw how long it would take to fill up that 5-gallon mm-hmm. bucket. Next... How do I stop it?
Head escape.
Escape.
That's
what I do. Bam.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. And I think that was...
So how did you go?
Oh, so these are the specs. Sorry. What was your question?
Well, I'm just looking at this, and this is the new improved one.
Yes.
At 500.
This is where we're at. This is the best thing we have so far.
Okay, and that's using the ball. It's using that...
So, yeah, let's look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, specs. So what were we pumping at? We had a stroke length of 33 inches, mm-hmm. which is pretty high. That's almost 3 feet. Step length was 12 inches, a little bit more than ideal. Gallons per hour, more than 500 gallons per hour. The foot valve is 35 feet below ground, not 50 feet. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you imagine if you go a little lower, then you probably lose a little bit in terms of flow rate. Estimated cost. This is the one with the foot valve, with the ball foot valve.
Right. The install.
And then, yeah, and retail cost $40,000 chop, which is, I mean, $40. $40, which is pretty good. Really good, actually. And we think this pump is going to be easier to manufacture than all the other stuff because it doesn't require cylinders. You didn't see any cylinders in that or anything of that sort, which is great. And these are all of our next steps and things. But let me go back to that picture bridge so I can point you guys to the direction of where all the pictures for that are. So all these here in the beginning, because there's that, IMG 0179, and then somewhere around that area. This is making that frame. Oh, so this is the rocker arm. So image 210, and 208. Notice how we have brackets. I mean, there's the pivot. The counterweight would go here. On this right-hand side, you see a bunch of brackets, so we can quickly attach and test out different different rocker arm lengths. Instead of making every rocker arm, you just go and attach. So there's that. And
so all that was made out of steel, basically.
It's all steel.
With wood foot pedals.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's it. So, I mean, if we want to write this down, we had our arms. We have the kludgy lever. Let's see. You can tell how much I like the kludgy lever.
Then you have the counterbalanced two versions, an early version, late version of the counterbalanced cradle.
So there was a... No, even before that, right? We had four frames in that presentation.
Right. There was Mirages.
Yeah.
I mean, the one of Mirage.
Double to single piston.
Yeah. So we had a retrofitted pump head. Mm-hmm. Frame. Right. And then we had that linkage one, the Y linkage.
Right, and the retrofitted pump was the hybrid one.
Yeah, that was a hybrid. I think we used that term a couple times. Hybrid, which used both lift and suction. And then number five was, let's see, the rocker arm. Mm-hmm. And the rocker arm is kind of where we're at. What's also interesting is the rocker arm is very similar to the Apertech design.
The rocker arm is, yeah.
And that we ended up at the same place. Because that's what we wanted.
Apertech,
there is a rocker arm. It's very, very, very similar. Let's see, do I have... No. Book number two. I mean, we had thought of this design, and then we saw that it was like, wait, that looks like ours. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you guys go with a wheel of some sort? Why don't you go with a wheel of some sort?
A wheel would be great. I mean, at the same time.
I'm just thinking about, like, trains. You know, they get these wheels that go like this. Yeah. The piston goes like this. And just reversing that. I'm not sure why that wasn't done.
I think what one of the reasons they want to stick with the Tradle is a large portion of the market associates IDE's pumps with the Tradle pump.
I see. But you could still use a Tradle to run that wheel.
You could.
But then you're not buying anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, the reason to stick with that wheel is so you can get some kind of continuous motion. If you're going to go for that, then you should make it pedal powered, maybe. Maybe that would go with the Innovator Die competition.
It's expensive. It's expensive, right? But you could actually get moment, you know, out of that. You can store energy in a heavier wheel.
Use momentum in it, which would be cool. And you could gear it up and do all this other stuff.
A flywheel, basically, kind of thing, right?
Okay, I think it's like 5:20.
Yeah, I think
we're cutting that out.
Yep.
I need to get food.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You totally rock.